Our Democrat of the day, we turn to the Minnesota 5 race for the U.S. House seat there. Don Samuels is challenging Ilhan Omar in that race in the primary coming up here in August. He is kind enough today to join us to talk about his campaign and the issues. Don, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Great to be here, Matt.
Thank you very much. The way I always start these interviews off, why don't we take a few minutes here and you can introduce yourself. Who exactly is Don Samuels?
Yes, I'm a family man. I was a single custodial dad, and after my son left for college, left the nest, I married Sandra Samuels. We moved into the Jordan neighborhood in North Minneapolis, and we raised three beautiful girls here, and they also are now grown. So I'm also a community leader. 6 days after we moved into our home, a bullet came through our daughter's designated bedroom window. And so we knew we had to organize. And so we got our neighbors together for monthly block club meetings and then expanded from a block to the neighborhood. And we were so effective in dealing with the issues that my neighbors asked me to run for office. So I was served three terms on the city council, one term on the school board, and I'm now CEO of MicroGrants, and we make grants to low-income folks to start a career or a business, and also started the Lights On program after Philando was killed. So now when you get pulled over for a broken light, instead of a confrontation, you get a voucher to fix that for free up to $250. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell. I'm an ordained minister. I'm a person of faith. But my faith shows up in my love for people of all differences and my understanding of the inclusivity of the human species and that we belong to the world and the world belongs to us. We need to take care of it. So that's who I am.
Don, I realize this next question I usually ask is why you got into this race, but really it is tied in. Clearly, you felt there was a need to challenge Ilhan Omar in 5. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? Why was the decision to enter the race and challenge Ilhan Omar for the primary?
Well, you know, as my short bio implies, my work has been rooted in community. My neighbors asked me to run because we were effective in leading the transformation of our block and in the surrounding block. And then on the city council, I was hands-on, you know, literally like meetings in Cub Food shopping aisle as people came up wanting to talk, setting up a table outside every time at the scene of a homicide or a violent encounters and making sure that with a banner that said Fifth Ward City Council mobile office, and just being totally accessible. Now, that stands in contrast to my opponent, who rarely even has town hall meetings and is out of touch with a lot of what the community wants, as she was with the policing issue, where she said to defund when 78% of African Americans didn't want that, and 56% of the voters voted against it. And then in Washington, D.C., she is contrarian in voting against things like the infrastructure bill, which is going to bring $8 billion to the state. She was one of six Democrats voting against that, going to provide jobs. And then she voted against internationally a policy against Russia, oil sanctions, and against the seizure of the oligarchs' assets, which, you know, I think she was one of three and then one of four Democrats to vote against that. And then she was one of just two Democrats to vote against refurbishing the security of the Capitol with additional dollars. And she and the fellow Democrat and all Republicans voted against that. So we need someone in Washington who is going to be a team player, who understands that you don't get anything in Washington done unless you have relationships. And her relationships with the Democratic leadership and the Minnesota delegation is strained.
Don Samuels joining us. He is running against Ilhan Omar in the Minnesota 5 race for the U.S. House seat. Let's focus more back in on the local issues, though. You've got a lot of issues that you're kind of fighting for here. You talked about crime. Obviously there is a crime issue in Minneapolis, as there is in pretty much every major city here. The reality is that it's a complicated, multi-layered problem, which involves, the guns on the street, kids, that are out of control at times, but as well, police that have, looked as more of a, at times, more of a prison guard over the people as opposed to the police over the people. And I kind of want to talk a little bit more. Why don't you elaborate more on how you want to address that issue? Because that probably is the biggest issue for most people in 5.
And it also demonstrates the difference between me and my opponent, Ilhan Omar, again, because I believe in a both-and approach to this dilemma. We have to deal with the crime. We can't allow people to suffer without protection because we want to defund the protection that we provide. At the same time, we can't allow the police who are supposed to protect to hurt. And so we have to have transformed policing. We can do both. Sophisticated leadership understands that you have to hold the tension of two seemingly opposing ideas at the same time and make it work. And so I have worked as I was the chair of the public safety committee in the city council. We reduced crimes by double digits for 7 years in a row. So crime can be reduced. You have to understand the complex combination of forces that go into crime spiking in the community and work all of them simultaneously. And at the same time, I also, going to support the Amir Lot bill that my opponent proposed in Congress and the George Floyd Policing Act. And I'm going to do both and, not either or.
And your record does speak for itself on dealing with crime in a high crime area. But there are a lot of people, as you talk about George Floyd here, that, and let's bring up Jaleel Stallings, that case. An innocent man who is not only, shot at unannounced, not only was beaten in the street, but then was prosecuted for an additional punishment, even though the people behind it knew he had not done anything wrong, that they had the video evidence that he was innocent.
Absolutely, everybody should be outraged about all of that.
How do you address? I mean, right now, it seems like the problem that we have in regards to police accountability comes to the fact that the police union has so much power and strength that they don't have to change, and they basically seem to be okay with that. I'm not sure exactly how the DOJ's investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department is going to change things here, but what are some of the ideas that you can have to give more accountability, more visibility, and transparency for the Minneapolis Police?
Well, we have to recruit and hire from the community.
Agreed.
We have to recruit and hire for character and personality. And then we have to train people in non-warrior type training how to defuse rather than exacerbate situations. And then once people are on the street, we have to empower cops, their peers, to report any misconduct or unjust or unethical issues without repercussions in their own career or without the chief firing that person or disciplining that person and arbitration returning them and restoring them as if nothing happened. That deteriorates the effect of leadership and the impact of leadership on the organization. And then once we have those things in place, we have to make sure that we monitor the health of the officers, we monitor their conduct, we monitor their behavior change, we provide support for those who need it, and then we report to the public on a regular basis the changes and improvements that are taking place in the data. And then, finally, we need citizen supervision with teeth that can oversee and be a backstop for the system to make sure it's working for the people.
I do want to make sure I make the point here. This would be the Minnesota 5 race. This is a U.S. House race, but at the same time, there's a lot of impact and not only money, political power that you have if you're a House member that you can bring into a district to help with these problems. So even though this, a lot of this, what we're describing right now is a Minneapolis City Council, Mayor Fry sort of issue, there it does need to, I think it is kind of, that's one of the reasons why I'm bringing it up, because I think it has to, we clearly have enough problems where it has to go from the federal politicians we have all the way down to the local council members. And I think it's a complete team effort to try to fix things. That's why I bring that up.
Absolutely. Beautiful. It's true. And it's not just Minnesota. It's a national issue. And every city, country, in a city has their own police department. So we need some federal laws that kind of set basic floor of conduct for police officers so that it's not left up to potentially dysfunctional police departments around the country.
I know you talk a lot about crime and these issues here. Let's talk about some of the other issues that you're looking to talk about. Enhancing economic opportunity and prosperity. This is obviously something that is, it's always been a little bit of a mystery. How do you basically, in areas that need growth, that they need, you know, economic ventures, new businesses, the support businesses like grocery stores, gas stations, stuff like this, how do you work to get that economic growth and prosperity across the board in five?
Yeah, you know, that's why public safety is so important. We've got people on Lake Street who are still fearful because they're getting robbed again and again and again, and the number of cops is just not enough to be preventive in any kind of way, just responding to crime and sometimes only to violent crime. And so we have to get the safety issue. It's totally related. They say economic development curbs crime, and crime curbs economic development. And so public safety is not just about I want to walk around the block without getting jumped. It's about I want to invest my hard-earned savings in this street, on this block, because the demand is there, but I don't want to take the risk. So public safety. But then again, in addition to that, we have to have an educated workforce, right? That is young people who are able to work productively and not be a deterrent to safety on our streets. So we got to get our workforce prepared for 21st century jobs, and we have to make sure that wages are livable and that people are not having to resort to alternative industries.
One final question about your policies, the issues you want to champion. You yourself, it's the number one issue on your page, protecting reproductive rights. You are basically, obviously, like a lot of Democrats, the overturning of Roe v. Wade has lit a fire under this issue, and this is something that we have to strive to make sure that it gets codified in federal law.
Absolutely, and this is an issue in which I believe strongly, and also the rights of LGBT community. We need to move into the 21st century on this issue, as in many others. The Democrats have their foot on the gas, and the Republicans have their foot on the brakes. And it's time for us, because the brakes are, it's not just the Democrats. It's the general public that has its foot on the gas. Over 70% of the folks, the people in the country, want choice. And over 90% want sensible gun laws. So the people have our feet on the gas. The Democrats are providing leadership on that. And we need to stay strong because we know we're with the general public and the voters.
Don Samuels, once again, he's Democrat running in the primary against Ilhan Omar, Minnesota fifth race here. Don, I want to send people to your website if they'd like to find out more about you, find out more about the issues. What's the website people should go visit?
DonSamuels.com, and while there, you can volunteer, donate. There are options to volunteer. Learn more about me and why I am, in fact, a progressive and pragmatic Democrat who's sacrificed generational wealth by not ever making money off real estate because I made a commitment to college to always live in a low-income community. That's as far left as you can get. And I'm out there and saying, let's deal with the disparities in our country. And my website will tell you all about the character of this candidate.
DonSamuels.com, DonSamuels.com, DonSamuels.com. I'll link to everything a little bit later on the Twitter and the Facebook, as well as also we'll spotlight this interview. Don, I appreciate
it. And August 9th, don't forget, August 9th is the primary. Mm-hmm. The contest you're talking about is decided on August 9th, not in December. So go vote in the primary on August 9th.
Or not November. No, it is. This is the primary August 9th. That's when this election happens. So this one's coming down the line here. August 9th is the primary. Once again, educate yourself. Find out about the issues. Go to Don Samuels' webpage and read up about it. DonSamuels.com. Don, I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much for being Democrat of the Day.
Thank you.